Hands-on impressions of Samsung's new Galaxy lineup and their new flip phone. Mac malware is on the rise. Siri has election smarts plus your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about, and I answer the questions that you send me. My name is Rich DeMuro, tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. Joining me is producer Megan, who's still trying to figure out what percentage of Jeff Bezos' wealth it took to buy the most expensive house in LA. Hello, Megan.
Hello. What's going on?
You know, I don't know. Just a lot. Just getting through
Jeff
a lot of stuff.
Jeff Bezos and his new Bel Air
so
mansion.
So weird, isn't it? Oh, we were talking about this earlier, but I always wonder what you know how you log into your bank account? Do you have like an app on your phone where it just like shows you your balance?
Yeah.
Like most people check it like all the time, right? Yeah. To like see if you have enough to like cover or whatever.
Right.
Like, can you imagine? I always think about this, like not even just Jeff Bezos, but like you're like a crazy celebrity, like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Does he have to do that?
You
ever?
Know what? I'm going to assume they don't even have the app.
Like he doesn't have like the Chase banking app on his phone or like Bank of America.
Probably not.
He just doesn't need it.
That's frustrating.
But it's just funny for like, you know, most people, it's like, I mean, my parents don't do that. I mean, they don't have like an app. They don't even use like the ATM.
Wait, this is such a great question. Like, why isn't Jimmy Fallon asking like these people when
oh my
he
God,
gets
celebrities?
Yeah.
Like, hey, Kourtney Kardashian, what does it look like when you open up your bank account, your Bank of America app?
No, it's not like, what does it look like? It's like, do you have the app? And like, do they know of it? You know, like
I don't know, but I would just stare at that figure. And it's like, since there's so much interest being accrued, it probably just like changes every second, like with more money on there.
You know how they do those Vogue videos where they like show their houses. They're like, hey, come on in.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should do like, hey, I'm going to show you my bank account today.
Here's my savings, which has like $74 million in it.
Yeah.
This is my tiny, fun account, which like, I just keep like $1 million in there.
Yeah. I just have $100,000. Like, if I'm, you know, just going to dinner or lunch, just to have just in case.
One can dream.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something closer to home. The Samsung Galaxy event happened this week, and this was there was a little failure to launch at the beginning, but then it all worked out. So originally last week, and I can talk about this now because I'm not under embargo anymore, but last week I was supposed to go to a Samsung event. It was like a private hands-on event in San Francisco where they give you an hour with the phone and you kind of shoot some video so that you have a heads up for when it actually launches, you can release all your videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly meant for like YouTubers and influencers so that they can release their video as soon as that deadline is open. They call it embargoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll say Tuesday at 11, you can show off your stuff, but you have it on Friday. So imagine you have the whole weekend to like polish your videos, get them ready, and have them ready to go. Time them out. Well, that was supposed to be me, but that didn't happen because my flight was so severely delayed to San Francisco that I couldn't make it. Long story short, we had the event on Tuesday. That's when we got our first look at this device. We were a little behind, but it was fine. Our video still did really well. We still got our segment for TV. And we now know what the Galaxy S20 series is all about. Three different phones. They're all 5G compatible, which is kind of a first. That's a big all-in on 5G for Samsung. And the main things that have changed is the camera, of course, because the camera is the most important part of any phone. Samsung told me that it is their biggest revamp of the camera since the Galaxy S7, which was about 4 years ago. That's big. Now, I will tell you, in the time that I saw these cameras, we were not able to take them outside. So I couldn't really tell if these cameras are amazing or if there's a lot of hype going on. I will say I think that the 100x zoom, which one of these phones does, is kind of a lot of hype because you're never going to get a picture good enough with 100x zoom that's going to be anything you want.
Right.
Now, if you lived in New York City and just want to use it to spy on people, you know, across the street, fine.
But I liked your comment about it.
What?
You know, the thing about your kids and going to their plays.
Oh, that I can sit in the back seat now and not feel guilty.
Yeah. Like, that's great.
It is. Now, the phones do have a good zoom. So they've got like anywhere from 3x optical all the way up to 10x optical, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So the iPhone has like, I think, 2x optical, which, you know, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be nice. So some of the other features on the phone, you got three devices. One is a 6.2-inch screen, 6.7 and 6.9. The large one, the S20 Ultra 5G, is a big phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a large phone, and it's a powerful phone. That's the most powerful model on there. And, I mean, really what you need to know is the camera is improved. Is it a better camera? We won't know until we try it out.
Right.
And we have to try it out in everyday situations. Low light, lots of light, movement, all this stuff. But if I had to guess, I would think that Samsung brought it with the camera because they need to. Mm-hmm. The iPhone camera is pretty amazing. Let's see, what other things are there? There's this feature called Single Take, which the only time I could ever see it being useful is if you're trying to capture your kid's first steps or a birthday party when someone's blown out candles.
Right.
You press the button once and it kind of just captures a whole bunch of videos and pictures and affects them all at the same time.
Yeah, I thought that that was kind of cool.
It's cool. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Again, for the average consumer, they're going to use a lot of these features the first time they get their phone. They're going to show them to their friends, like, let me show you 100x zoom, and then that's it. You're not really going to use 100x zoom. Now, 30x zoom, sure. Even 10x zoom is going to be great. Are the pictures going to be that great? Probably not.
I never use zoom on my phone.
I try not to.
Yeah.
Because as a rule, I want the highest quality pictures.
Exactly.
And if you're zooming in, you're not getting the highest quality pictures. Now, optical zoom, you are. So if you can use optical, that's fine. But the rest of it, you don't want to use. There's 8K video, which again, how good is 8K video going to be on the very first phone that does 8K video? Not very good. So you don't want to use that. It's limited to 5 minutes, so you can't really even take much video in 8K.
Wait, because it would take up all the space on the phone?
I think they limit it for various reasons, but yeah, one of them is probably space and just other considerations. Probably use a lot of horsepower on the phone, and you can't really sustain that for very long, I'm guessing. HD video chat with Google Duo. Google Duo, when it came out a couple years ago, I thought was the coolest thing to ever happen to video chat, and still nobody knows about it. Right? You know, yeah. FaceTime, you know Skype, but
right.
After FaceTime, video chat falls off a cliff. You can't even mention another program that people use for video chat.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy. So
did you use Google Duo?
The only person I can get is my brother, who is an Android fanatic, and that's it.
Wow.
And so it's... You're not going to get a person that's an iPhone user to download another video chat app unless you're cross-platform and you're on Android and they're on iPhone and you're like, please, can you download this? I swear the sign-up's not that tough. But iPhone users default to everything iPhone and Apple because it's just easy. It's built in and it's already there.
Right.
And that's been part of Apple's magic as well. Pricing for these new phones, starting at $1,000 for the S20, $1,200 for the mid-range S20 Plus, and then $1,400 for the S20 Ultra 5G, which is the granddaddy of all phones. Pre-orders begin on the 21st of February. The phones are in stores on March 6th. And the RAM was also, if you're really interested in this stuff, if you're like an Android nerd, you're interested in the RAM, which is 12 gig standard, which is a lot of horsepower.
Okay.
And then storage is 128 standard. And it can go all the way up to 1.5 terabytes with a micro SD card. So you can really store a lot of stuff on these things.
Wow.
And the batteries are huge as well. 4,000 milliamp hours, 4,500 milliamp hours, and 5,000 milliamp hours, which is the most I've ever seen on a phone. I think even the iPhone tops out at like 3,000 milliamp hours. So these are powerful phones, but Samsung has always been known for powerful phones. They throw a lot of specs at things. Does it all add up to being like the best phone in the world? A lot of times the iPhone still beats them in various ways, like the camera this year. But we're going to have to see. I will tell you just in passing, going hands-on with these devices, of course I fell in love with them, and I want them, or at least
Did
the Ultra.
You?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
I always get this idea of like, oh my gosh, it's so... You know, like there's just things you could do on Android that are so much simpler than you can do on iOS.
Right.
And it's just until you use it for a bit, you can't realize like why Android's simpler in a lot of ways, whereas iOS makes you do a lot of taps. And like just one example I'll give two examples.
Okay.
And this is a very real world example because I'm always researching restaurants. Let's say you're reading an article about a restaurant and they have a link to like the restaurant's Instagram page, right? Like yesterday, I was on an article, LA Times, linked to their LA Times food, which had a picture of this cheeseburger from this restaurant in Santa Monica. And on Android, number one, I can click those links and bring me into Instagram versus on iOS, it brings you into a browser that has Instagram. Then you have to open up Instagram and blah, blah. So two things. So that's number one. Second thing you're able to do on Android is actually press and hold down the home button, and that will scan the screen for any pertinent information, like the restaurant name and its Yelp review. And so instantly I can go from Instagram looking at this picture to pressing down the home button, which scans Google Assistant for anything that's on the screen and then gives me everything I need to know about that restaurant. Here's its Google page.
Cool.
Right. And it's just a simple thing that's like really tough to explain, but
yeah.
it's super useful. And so yeah. I instantly bookmarked this restaurant on Yelp and took a little note that said, try the cheeseburger in like 2 seconds. On iPhone, that would have taken me a lot of cross searching. I would have had to go into Chrome or into browser and like mm-hmm. search for the restaurant name, remember the restaurant name. Then once I get it in the browser, I got to like click it and hope it takes me into Yelp. And then if it doesn't take me into Yelp, I have to go into Yelp and search again. So.
Or if you like swipe up on Instagram, like on a link,
yeah,
it would take you like directly to whatever, Chrome to like look at that link. But on the iPhone, it'll just open within the app. So it looks right. all messed up, which is what you were saying.
But actually Instagram on Android, this is an abnormality. Instagram okay. does use its own in-app browser. And that's an Instagram thing.
Oh.
They decided they're not using like any browser that goes into the actual system.
Okay.
So I don't know why they do that.
So complicated.
It is very complicated. And you know, again, it's like a little thing like this, like you open up a link on YouTube on the iPhone, and it's going to bring you into like this small YouTube thing that you may not be signed in on.
Mm-hmm.
And so next thing you know, I want to watch that video later, but I can't say save later because it's like, well, sign into YouTube. What do you mean sign in? Like
yeah.
It's like very confusing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I fell in love with these devices. I will say in passing, my impression of the camera that I saw in the like terrible lighting conditions that they had there was not very good. It wasn't like taking better pictures than my Pixel. And so I have to kind of see if that was an abnormality of the lighting. The lighting was terrible. The Pixel pictures weren't very good either.
Yeah, we really couldn't get a good idea.
But I will say we took a lot of video on the iPhone with our like social media and it came out amazing.
Yes,
so,
it did. I also am just like so not used to taking a picture on a Pixel.
Yes, you get you're very iPhone centric,
totally
which a lot of people are.
I'm totally biased.
You are.
Yeah, and it's bad. Okay, I think once they figure out like how to make stories look good.
Oh, this is very true. This is Megan's big thing, and I do agree
with
this.
It's bad, but
if you post an Instagram story from your Samsung or your Pixel or any other phone that's not iPhone,
I know
they are terrible looking.
They look horrible,
and the people that are posting them don't realize this. And so when you look at it on an iPhone, I will literally go back to my iPhone and take a look and be like, well, does this look that bad? No, it looks fine on iPhone. But
so if I were to watch a Samsung story on a Samsung, it would look good?
When you're posting it, it does, I feel like. It just doesn't, it's not
weird.
The same. They don't have the same codecs, I feel like.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want Rich to answer your tech questions, just go to his website, richontech.tv, and hit the contact button. Our first question comes from Michael. It's actually really a comment. He said, Rich, there is way too much emphasis being placed on 5G devices by the telecom companies and device makers. Verizon has 5G downtown and Santa Monica only in LA. Companies like Samsung are pitching 5G phones. Obviously, these phones just launched and they have 5G, but there's nowhere to use it. Basically, buying a phone or any mobile device with 5G is a waste. 5G towers may be installed in the next 2 to 3 years, but by then, the device you bought in 2020 is dated. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question. I'm actually looking up my address on T-Mobile, because T-Mobile has nationwide 5G.
Okay.
So I'm curious, like, what their deal is with their, you know, 5G. So let's see if it has it in my area. And it does, actually. So here's the thing. I think that I understand, Michael, I understand his argument. He's saying that the telecom companies are pushing 5G, but you have to understand their standpoint. They are marketing machines. They're spending a lot of money to upgrade to 5G.
Yeah.
They're not going to just sit back. They're going to try to get as many people on board as possible to help subsidize some of these new towers and things that they're building. Is it a lot of hype? Yes. At this point, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone I've met or run into that's saying, Rich, 5G has changed my life. It's so amazing. No. Will it happen? Yes. Eventually, over time. And I think that Samsung going all in on these 5G phones right now, number one, they did it in a unique way. They, except for the lowest model phone, which is the Samsung Galaxy S20,
mm-hmm.
the S20 Plus and the Ultra support all the flavors of 5G that are out there. which means Verizon's building a network that doesn't really is a little bit different than the way that T-Mobile built their network. But the phones have the technology built in to handle both networks. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So again,
AT&T, do they not have?
They have 5G as well.
Okay. But they have a different network.
Every carrier has 5G at this point. Right. They're all building them in slightly different ways. Some of them overlap. For instance, there's some, I don't want to get in the weeds
here. It's okay.
But there's there's just different ways of doing it.
Right.
And, you know, every carrier is kind of doing it differently, but these phones have the technology built in to handle both types of networks that you can build.
Right.
So is it a lot of hype? Yes. But you got to think on the flip side, Michael, people are upgrading their phones today and keeping them for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the system is going to evolve over 3 years and be better. And so the phone you got today, yeah, is it going to be the best phone in 3 years? No. But you're still going to be able to ride that wave as these 5G networks get better.
Right, because obviously they've done like the math and they see that, like you said, people upgrade every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and I forget the, Samsung just told me that number.
I'm like less than 2 years. I feel like once I hit the like year and a half mark, I already want the next phone. But then again, I'm like 3 years behind with my new phone, with my current phone.
So upgrade cycles are now 4 months longer, according to Samsung. With their Galaxy S devices, they're noticing that people now upgrade every 27 months. It used to be every 22 months.
Okay.
So on average, if you look at 27 months, that's a little over 2 years when people start to get that itch of like, I need a new phone. For me, it's every 6 months, but that's just me.
It's more like every 2 months.
Every 2 months.
But that's just because you switch back and forth.
Yeah, when these new phones come out, I just get very excited to try
them. So are you going to buy?
I already put in the pre-order, kind of like I got everything ready for the pre-order.
Okay.
So I may get a review unit from Samsung. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So I may try that first before I order. But I did. I'm also trying to decide between the S20 Plus and the S20 Ultra. Because I like the idea of the Ultra, but I feel like it's too big for me.
That's a lot. I like 1.5 terabyte.
Well, I like a phone that fits in my pocket, and that's like a larger than you need.
Right, right.
Well, there's another phone from Samsung, the Galaxy Z Flip, and this one went bananas on my Facebook page. We did a little video on this, and Megan, how many views did that get?
Like 3 billion. No, 3 million.
3 million views. Over 3 million.
Yeah.
And it's clear people are interested in these phones with a foldable screen are very interesting to people because it's something that you never saw before. And now we've seen it about 3 or 4 times over the past year. Because don't forget, at last year's CES, we saw our first foldable tablet. And that was like, whoa, what? And then we've had a couple foldable phones between now and then, the Samsung Galaxy Fold and also the Motorola Razr, mm-hmm. which folds. Well, the Z Flip is not as high-end as the other Samsung phones, but it's really cool looking. And we played with this. This is not a phone for me, but I can see the appeal of this phone because it's basically a Samsung Galaxy device. Let's imagine it's from last year, like last year's model.
Right.
Let's say last year's specs, but it folds in half, which means it's kind of cool. And I like that idea because it fits in your pocket. It appeals to a lot of people because of that reason. It's got a 6.7-inch display. Let's see the cameras. You know, it's very standard cameras. You've got a 10 megapixel on the selfie, 12 megapixels on the other one. You've got a wide angle. You've got 8 gigabytes of RAM, 256 storage, 3,300 milliamp hour battery. So it's a good phone.
Yeah.
It's not going to be your high end. You're not going to use this as a creation phone, but it's enough for like just doing fun stuff.
Yeah.
This is it. You're looking at a video of it on Instagram at Rich on Tech. And again, it fits in the palm of your hand. And the cool thing is there are some fun things you can do with it, like set it on a table and watch video because it acts as its own little tripod.
Yeah, which is cool.
You can, you can take selfies because it's like, again, its own little tripod. So it's cool. It's $1,380 and it'll be on sale on Valentine's Day. So they kind of surprised everyone with this and it's cool. I think that a lot of the videos that I watched, the reviewers they didn't do standard reviews on them just yet because nobody's had this for long enough to do a review, but everyone's kind of pleasantly surprised. Like, mm-hmm. Samsung got this right. It's a good phone out of the gate. It's not something that I'd recommend as like a high-end phone, but it's high-end in like a way of this is futuristic. It fits in your pocket. It's kind of a cool phone.
Yeah.
If you have a Galaxy and you don't need the high-powered stuff, all those extra features, then you get this and it's kind of a neat little device.
One of the comments is funny. Scott DG, this is on your Instagram. Everything old is new again. Looking forward to the Samsung rotary.
Mm.
That's funny.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's next.
Actually, not a bad idea.
I don't even know what a rotary is.
Oh, it's a rotary phone. Like, like you would turn the little dial.
Oh. Huh.
But that's not a bad idea for Samsung, just for fun, to come out with a phone or someone that would actually be a rotary phone that sits in your house that would use cellular.
Okay.
Be kind of cool.
Or just like an app that you can
dial. That'd be cool too. I'm sure they have one on iPhone.
That's cool. All right. So this next question comes from Steve. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. When I Google, for instance, a restaurant and there is a map showing its location or a button for directions, my iPhone opens my Apple Maps app but shows me my current location and not the location of the restaurant and or the directions to it. So why does that happen?
Oh, this is what I was talking about. Yeah. Differences between iOS and Android.
Yeah, that's it.
This is another difference. And this is the thing. None of these are deal breakers. None of these are enough. Look, Apple has some of the most popular phones in the world, especially here in the US. And I have never met, maybe I've met a handful of people who are like, Rich, it's really annoying that when I click, and this is another example I'm going to give. When I'm in Yelp on the iPhone,
it
kills me that I cannot press that directions button on there and get directions to a place because it will open Apple Maps, which I don't have installed on my iPhone. So that means it'll say, broken link, do you want us to download this from the App Store? And I say, no, there's a reason why I don't have it. Let me set Google Maps as my mapping app. Now, I remember there used to be a way in Yelp on the iPhone to do that, and I think they took it away.
It's funny because I love Apple Maps.
Do you really? I think it looks beautiful. It just doesn't work. It doesn't route you the right way. Oh. It does not have the information that Google has.
Okay.
Period. I've tried it. I sat there and, you know, when I went all in on the iPhone, when I was writing my book, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to use it and I'm like, this is great. It looks beautiful. It's so smooth, the animations. And yes, it's gotten better. But at the end of the day, it does not bring you to the places you need to go in a proper format.
Yeah, the only thing...
On a regular basis.
I honestly have never really had these issues with Apple Maps, but Google Maps for me, maybe you can fix this. There's a delay. Like there's like a little bit of a lag I've noticed. Like I'll be going and then I'll like pass the street and I'll be like, turn left here. And I'm like, well, I didn't get in the left-hand turn lane. Like there's a total...
I've never had that problem. That could be isolated to just Megan, producer Megan.
Maybe it's just my attention.
It could be. I mean, there are...
I like hear it 5 seconds later.
Perhaps. I mean, there are definitely sometimes when I'm waiting for my maps to kind of catch up to where I'm going. Because if you're disoriented, you just got on the, you know, off the airplane and you're like going somewhere like in a rental car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I need to make a left or right? Let me know.
I feel like Apple Maps sometimes tells happens. You before.
I will give this to Apple Maps. I will give this to Apple Maps.
So you know what I'm talking about.
You are right. Now.
Oh my gosh.
I will tell you this.
Can I get that recorded?
It mainly. Oh wait. why do I always do that one? That's what I meant to do.
Wow.
I will tell you this. Walking directions specifically, Apple Maps does a better job of finding your location quicker.
Okay.
Getting a lock on that location and navigating you around. I don't know why that is, but I have noticed that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just one thing I've noticed. All right.
Okay.
So what do we answer the question? Yeah. So the thing is, it's the Android thing. It's the Android versus iOS. iOS does not let you set defaults, which means no matter what, whatever you're clicking on, it's not going to take you to that thing because it doesn't let you set defaults. Even if you have the Chrome web browser installed on your iPhone, any link you click is not going to take you to Chrome. It's going to take you to Safari.
Yeah, and so basically, Steve, you should probably be using the Safari app. He's using the Google app. So if he were to use the Safari app and go to a restaurant address and click on that, it would take him to Google Maps or Apple Maps.
Yeah, it would take him to Apple Maps.
So if he was on Chrome.
So I will tell you this. So this is the other thing which is also confusing. Google codes their apps with what are called deep links, which means when you click a link on Safari, it's actually kind of tricking the iOS operating system into opening Google Maps. Because normally it defaults to Apple Maps, but Google has hard-coded that link to actually take you into its app. And that's something that developers can do. Google's very good about it because they want to keep you in the Google ecosystem. So let me give you an example. I use Gmail on my phone, and I click links in Gmail. to an address. It will take me into Google Maps. It's not happening natively. It's happening because Google is kind of tricking the system with these deep links.
Okay, I'm going to try it right now.
So you're on what now?
I looked up Nobu.
So you looked up Nobu.
Wait, on where am
what?
I? On Safari.
On Safari. So look up Nobu and on Google.
Okay.
And now do directions right there. Well, big link. Okay, that. Okay. Yep.
Which one?
Either one. Let's see what happens. So you're clicking the map link and it takes you into
Google
Maps.
To the Google Maps.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's because they have hard-coded that.
Okay.
From Google search, they said, oh, we want to make sure. We're going to check to see if you have Google Maps installed on your phone. This is why it's so confusing, because half the time, if a developer has taken the time to deep link it, it'll work right. If they haven't, it takes you to Apple Maps. You're like, wait, what? I'm confused.
It's very interesting.
Very confusing. And I think that's part of the reason why Google Maps changed their logo, because now it's much more clear that this is a different app than Apple Maps.
Very competitive.
Yes. Other things to talk about from the Samsung event, Galaxy Buds Plus. And you got a pair of Galaxy Buds at the last event, right?
Yes,
they
I did.
They gave you a tester pair.
Yeah.
And you used them for a while before your sister made fun of you and said you should have AirPods.
Yep.
And now they've been banished. But Galaxy Buds Plus are the new version. And get this. Even the newest AirPods have about, I think, 4 to 5 hours of time use time. Now, I've never had a problem with battery life on AirPods ever in my life.
Just throw them back in.
Throw them back in. They charge. Yeah, it's super easy.
Yeah.
But the Galaxy Buds now have 11 hours of playback on a single charge. That is quite impressive.
Just the little buds without putting them in the...
When you put them in the case, you are getting an additional 11 hours. So you're talking 22 hours.
Like, what are you doing where you need it to be charged? No, it just means you can go days without charging it. Right?
Basically. Now, also, you could be traveling a far distance. Maybe you're on a plane for a long time. That's when it really comes into play. I've actually started to use headphones less because I read this book about the body I've talked about, and it was saying how our ears were not really meant to have headphones in them at all times. There's little tiny hairs in your ear that helps you hear. Those are like the little, they move in like the waves. So when you're blasting them, and I'm not a doctor. Don't take this for, you know, like any medical advice, but I'm just saying it makes sense. The more you use them, the more you're wearing them out.
The hairs.
The little kind of receptors that are.
Wow. Does that make sense? I mean,
sounds
yes,
like it makes sense. That's a very basic version of it. Now, an audiologist may dispute that, but it made sense to me that the more you're using these, it's not like a muscle in your body where you can just work it out and it gets bigger and better. This is your ears.
Worse.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
So that is my thought, is that maybe I don't need headphones in all the time when I'm cruising through the airport or on a plane. So I've been trying to make a mindful effort to not use them as much. Take it for what it's worth.
Do you hear better?
No. I still can't hear my wife when she yells at me. Now, here's another cool thing about these Galaxy Buds Plus. You get 60 minutes of playback with just 3 minutes of quick charging. So have you ever had this thing, and it hasn't really happened to me recently, but there used to be a time when like you would forget to charge your earbuds, you go to the gym. You know, if I'm in like a heavy lifting day.
I bet your sister would love that joke.
Yeah. Get I don't do that. So my point
is he does not lift. Yeah.
So
I do 5 pounds.
Yeah.
5 pound weights.
So if you know, if you're in a big day where you're like going to the gym and all of a sudden your thing's not charged, you can put these on the charger for 3 minutes and you'll get 60 minutes of playback, which is great. You can also put them on the back of your phone because the Galaxy has what's called reverse charging.
Uh-huh.
You can put them on the back of your Samsung phone and charge them for 3 minutes and get 60 minutes. If you, you know, forget to charge your device and you get to the gym and it's totally dead, 3 minutes on a charger and you're good to go for an hour. Now, for me, my workouts usually last closer to like 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
So this would not work out for my major lift sessions.
That's so funny.
But...
That's
I'm kidding.
So
That's
funny.
A joke. Like my goal at the gym is to get in and out as fast as humanly
your
possible.
Your goal at the gym is just to like look at the weights, acknowledge their presence, and
I just wish it would work with just looking at them and not having to actually
That's
use
the
them.
Next. That's
and the other cool thing is that since Samsung has the reverse wireless charging, you can just place these Galaxy Buds in their case on the back of your Galaxy phone. If you have one of the newer phones that reverse wireless charges, it'll charge them in 3 minutes and you get 60 minutes of workout.
Wow.
Pretty
Sorry,
awesome.
I don't want to take this like Samsung thing away from Samsung, but can you do that with AirPods?
No, The iPhone does not let you reverse wireless charge. It has wireless charging. It will not charge another device. But you can charge your AirPods on the back of a Galaxy device.
I'm sure there are a lot of like iPhone users that they were wondering that question though.
Mm.
You know?
Absolutely.
I'm speaking for the people.
And that would be a cool feature for Apple to do, and they probably will.
Yeah, eventually.
Apple usually is a little step behind, but when they do things, they do them polished.
Yes.
And I'm not saying Samsung's not polished, but Samsung, let's be honest, they like to try things and fail publicly. We've seen it with the Galaxy Note 7, which lit on fire. They had to send the
blew
hazmat
up in people's
crew
hands.
to my house to like pick it up.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they sent someone to pick up the device.
I didn't know that happened to you.
I didn't blow up, but they recalled all the devices, including the review units. So I had one, which I was secretly going to keep just to like have it. I was going to be like, oh, I don't have one. And sure enough, they're like, no, we're sending someone to you to pick it up from you. And so, yeah.
Wow, I wish you had it.
Yeah.
I remember that whole situation.
I did keep the Fire Phone from Amazon.
But that did that not
was the other one.
Catch on fire.
That was the one where they really wanted it back, and I was just like,
"See, if
can
Bezos
I just keep it for like another week just to try something, and then they finally like forgot to ask
if
for
Jeff
it.
Was using a Fire Phone when that whole hack happened,
he wouldn't have been hacked.
No, he would have.
I just thought it'd be so
hacked.
Cool to look back at the Fire Phone in like a couple of years and
can we do a story
Amazon's?
On the Fire
we
Phone?
We should revisit. Let's power it up. It probably doesn't power up anymore.
You'll never for sure now so get dead. Invited to an Amazon
no,
event.
No, Amazon hates me. Actually, the list of companies that are, ever since I started this podcast where I talk more about the companies that I cover, that's when it all started. Because they probably listen and they're like, Rich, we don't like you anymore. But here's the thing. I got to keep it real for you, the listener.
For your homies out there listening.
I do. Because that is the bottom line. You got to, look, if I don't get invited to the secret champagne room at the Samsung event, so be it.
Hey, at least your video got 3 million views. That doesn't hurt.
No,
that feels good.
It did feel good.
Better than, less than that.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anyways, next question.
We digress.
Is from Richard. Mm. Hello. Oh.
I wrote this.
I think you did
write
this. All
right, let's hear it. Just say he loves me.
Richard asks, as of late, I have plenty of time. That must be nice. And I would like to know what equipment is needed to start a podcast. I have the latest Apple software.
Oh.
I don't think you should tell him because we don't need any more competition.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Richard.
You know, I am not the best to answer this question because, number one, we do this podcast in the worst possible way ever. I mean, you hear the audio quality is not very good.
What?
Production quality is not very good. It's just not very,
that was so harsh. First
we're
of all,
not
I
the
thought
model
we,
podcast, let's be honest.
But our audio compared,
audio sounds fine, I guess. But we have a nice board, which I'm not going to recommend to him because it's too expensive to start. But we have, we use what's called the Rode.
Yeah. Caster. Pro.
Rodecaster Pro. Is it on the back of it?
Yeah.
Okay, because it doesn't say it where I'm looking. I don't know the name of the
Rodecaster Pro.
Does it say it on there?
And I thought it was about $500.
Yeah, it's probably about $500.
Okay. Hey, Richard might have some time.
It depends. If he didn't say he had money. He said he has time. And there's a couple things in this life. You get
if you have time though,
if you have time, you can make money.
You could make money.
Well, so what I would recommend, and I would not recommend starting out with anything expensive. Start out with a USB microphone from Blue Microphones, BLUE. Look up their mics. They've got great selections of things that start at like $50 all the way up to like a couple hundred. Get one of their mics, plug it into your computer. If you have an Apple computer with the latest software, get an app that lets you record. You can do it with something as simple as QuickTime. Or you can look at a company, Audio Hijack. Audio Hijack. Lets you record things, but this company, Rogue Amoeba, Rogueamoeba, Rogue Amoeba has great little apps that can help you produce a podcast. They've got a whole bunch of them, but you can do it in GarageBand, again, for free. So my advice, start out as cheap and as free as you can, because the toughest part about doing a podcast is actually doing it on a regular basis. And it took me about 3 years of doing this podcast to actually do it on a regular basis.
Yeah,
and now we have it in the calendar and we do it and we know we're going to do it and that's it.
It's like meditation.
Yeah. You have to do it every day, 5 a.m. like me.
Is that what you do at 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
Good to know. Then I will do it at 5 a.m. too.
If you ever come to my desk and see me, like, if, my biggest fear is like someone taps on me and they're like, and they turn around, I'm like, But you do, I do a little headspace. I don't do it every day. I do it when I remember. But I will be honest, doing a little meditation at the beginning of your day is a very nice thing, because it's most of the time when you start your day, what do you want to do? You want to get in, go.
No, you got so many things to do. No, I would love to meditate. Yeah. I just like have to get some stuff done, you know?
Yeah, so do I.
No, I know. But
you find, so I do it in
now
the,
I have so many questions for
well,
you.
Well, usually what I do, I come in
is
a little
a
bit
new
before
thing?
Megan. Yeah, it's a new thing.
Okay, because
haven't
I can
you
tell.
Noticed that I've been
I can tell.
More
I was
zen?
Gonna, yes, I was, yeah. yep.
I really have. I'm not kidding. Like, no. I truly feel like I've been more zen in 2020.
This is really, sorry for all the listeners listening to this, but last
week. Well,
there
aren't any, so that's okay.
Sorry, Mom. So last week I was listening to a podcast about meditating, and someone was commenting, oh, by the way, like once you started meditating, like everyone could tell. And anyway, so then I meditated that day and I was like, wow, I need to do this more. And then the next day I was like, I should tell Rich, we should have like designated 10 minute, like you're meditating, I'm meditating.
Yeah, it
you're
does
You're doing
help.
That. So now it, okay.
Yeah,
it's
and
working.
We also actually have a room in the tech studio that's fully dark. So I think we get some candles in there. We get like a little mat.
I need 10 minutes.
And it's just like you put the little thing on the door that says, you know, do not disturb.
Yeah.
But that would actually be kind of funny.
Actually,
that room is never used.
We have two little rooms.
Well, one is like a closet. The other one's like more of like a little tiny, be perfect meditation.
Yeah. Headspace.
And I think it's important. I think the naps at work are important. I think that this is what I think we're realizing as humans as we get into like this new century is like, I am all about hard work. I love to work hard. You know that.
Yeah.
I love to
work hard, play hard.
Yes, I do play hard too. But the reality is you also have to take time to further yourself and to really make sure that you're doing okay. For me, a lot of it is running. Like I run a lot.
Yeah.
So that's like my time and like whatever. And I like to read a lot. Some other people, it's like Netflix or whatever, but I don't feel like that really actually calms your brain. Like I know a lot of people think like, oh, if I watch TV for an hour, but I don't think it does.
No.
I think it actually it shuffles things around a lot more because you're seeing things on the screen and you're kind of like thinking about them and it triggers other feelings. And you know what I mean? Like if you're
totally
any show you're watching,
I feel like whenever I watch TV, I'm always on my phone too.
That's another
so
thing.
So I'm like basically doing like too much at once.
But that's a real problem in general. And I don't know what the solution is because I find myself like yesterday I was homesick with my kid and I'm not kidding. I must've looked at my phone for 7 hours. And it's a problem, like the screen time stuff. I'm like, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is a
problem.
Anyway,
start the podcast and, you know, it'll be great. Just
yeah, send us a link so we can listen to it.
Okay, let me get to this because I did mention it in the intro. But Mac malware outpacing Windows malware or Windows PC threats for the first time since 2019. A new report from Malwarebytes says 400% increase in detected Mac malware on a year-by-year basis. And you might be thinking, wait, what? Mac doesn't have any issues. There's no malware for Mac. But here is what they say. It's not necessarily viruses like you would think and the Trojan horses of the Windows side of things. What it really is, and there's one program in particular that I've seen in action on my mother-in-law's computer. It's a lot of it is this is basic malware, like adware. That takes over. I call it browser hijacking.
Okay.
And when you go to search for something, all of a sudden it's searching on some random search website. And what they're doing is you might get the same links, like some Google stuff, but all the ads are taken over by this other company that makes money when you misclick something. Or it just keeps putting pop-ups. The other program is called Mac Keeper, which is a quote-unquote cleaning program. And I noticed this was installed on her computer. And at first, I thought it was a handy little program. I was like, oh, that's good. She has a little Mac cleaner. No, it's total bogus. So to uninstall these things on Mac is actually quite easy, but you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And most people that are getting these things don't know what they're doing, so they can't just find and drag the program to the trash. And a lot of times, they do put tentacles in the operating system that makes them a little bit tougher to get rid of than a typical program.
That's so creepy.
It's just really annoying. And
yeah.
Mac is still a safe environment when it comes to like viruses a lot of the times. But again, what they're doing is they're targeting this malware because they can make money off of it. Mm-hmm. And they've got it installed on a bunch of computers. So the two things you need to look out for is something called New Tab. And that again is what,
new
you know,
tab.
And that's kind of adware. And then there's one called PC Vark and Mac Keeper. And those are the things that are really the bad stuff. All right, I think we have time for one more question on your end.
Oh, we do?
One more okay. quick one.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so this last question comes from Sabhan. Currently, I'm using Google Chromecast first generation, and I'm upgrading to Roku Ultra Streaming Player. Is the Roku Ultra Streaming Player worth it?
Yes, I think so. Roku Ultra is their nicest Roku player. It's got a lot of great features. It's fast. It's smooth. I've been testing it out. I think we've talked about this in previous shows. Mm-hmm. So I've been using it, you know, every once in a while to kind of see like what it does, how it reacts to things. Like when Disney Plus came out, I kind of looked on there to see how Disney Plus worked. I would say my impression of the Roku interface, it's not my favorite. I think for simplicity, Apple TV is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think for like just a cheap streamer, Fire TV is really nice, but it's crowded with a lot of stuff on the screen. Roku, I think, has a nice balance of like simplicity, but also there are ads on the screen, which I don't necessarily like. But also I love their universal search, and I love all the features you get. It's the Ultra has all the features you can want in a streaming player for $100.
Wow.
Which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. So I say it's a great upgrade from the, and I think you're going to love the fact that you have a remote control that's dedicated. You have a volume button on the side of your remote, which is really nice. You have a power on and off, which controls your TV. So you only need one remote for everything, which
it's
is great.
So nice.
Plus you can plug your headphones into the remote on the Ultra, which is also really nice.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to disturb people if you want to watch stuff quietly.
Right.
It's just a nice little player.
Cool.
So I think he made a great decision. All right. Two more things I want to tell you about before we go. 2020 election, Siri can now answer questions about results, primaries, and more. So you can ask real-time results like, hey, Siri, who's winning the New Hampshire primaries? Who won the Democratic Iowa caucus?
Can I try it?
And yeah, sure. Go ahead. Results come from Associated Press. So ask it who won the, what was the last? New Hampshire. Ask who won the New Hampshire.
Hey, Siri. Who won the New Hampshire
primary? Let's see.
According to the Associated Press, Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire Democratic primary with 26.2% of the vote. Donald Trump won the Republican primary with 90.4% of the vote.
There you go.
That's really
cool. So that's kind of cool.
Thanks, Siri.
Okay, so we got Siri. Now, Google Assistant. I know Valentine's Day is coming up. You may listen to this before or after, but you've got a whole weekend. This is kind of cool. I did not get a chance to test this out yesterday, so I will do this when I get home. But you can now say, hey, Google, turn up the love, which, hold on, I got to make sure it doesn't do it on my phone. And it will do all kinds of stuff. So it will play smooth jazz music.
Oh, wow.
It will change your color-changing lights to romantic red and purple. Kind of fun.
That is fun.
Kind of cool.
Are you going to be using that?
I will.
Today. It's Valentine's Eve.
Awkward. But anyway, this. So I'll tell you a funny story. I'll get away from the awkward Megan question. But
I don't feel awkward. I was just asking.
They had a similar thing for Halloween, and I told this story on the podcast, I think, a long time ago, but it used to be like H Google, get spooky or something like that, and I was doing this in my office testing, and all of a sudden, every smart device in the house started doing creepy, crazy Halloween things. So playing music, I'm talking the TV would start playing like creepy stuff, like all the lights were flickering, and my wife from room yells, and she's like, what is going on? Because I had no idea what was happening in other rooms.
Anyways, other
things you can do, asking the assistant for Valentine's Day, hey, Google, play romantic music, show romantic dinner recipes, serenade me, play a podcast about relationships. Oh, Megan, you've said that before.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be using the Google serenade me.
Tell me a fact about love, to learn about love in the animal kingdom, and
get out of here.
Happy Valentine's Day, to learn how to say I love you in 8 different languages, and do you love me? Will help create a heartfelt poem with the assistant. Oh, real quick, Google Assistant, another thing I'm loving right now, and I just started using this because of that commercial during the Super Bowl where it was, I don't know, did you see the Loretta commercial where it was like
No.
the really sad old man who his wife died and
Oh,
he kept saying,
yeah.
Remember that Loretta loved, you know, chocolate.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Turns out that actually does come in handy. I used it twice because my kid got sick and I had to remember when I gave him Tylenol.
Oh.
And I said, Google, remember that I gave my kid Tylenol at 12:15 p.m. And then my wife comes home. She's like, what time did you give him Tylenol? I'm like, I can't remember. H Google, what did I tell you to remember? And sure enough, on the screen, it said you gave your son Tylenol at 12:15 p.m.
Really,
kind of cool. So it's kind of like a reminder, but it's for longer term remembering. Yeah. Reminder like kind of triggers at a certain time. Remember is just like, hey, remember that I want to read that book, you know, or whatever. So it's kind of a cool little feature to use.
Remember, I should ignore that person.
Does Siri do remember? Say, remember that I ate lunch 4 hours ago.
Hey, Siri. Remember that I ate lunch 4 hours ago.
I don't see an app
for
that.
Okay. So she doesn't do it.
Didn't think
but
you.
It's kind of cool.
It is cool.
It's just kind of a neat little thing. And I think the more you use it, the more you can kind of come up with different, I don't know, just different little things that you would use it for, right?
My mom forgets a lot of things, so maybe she should start using
it. So the syntax is H Google, remember that. And I looked at when I first started using this, I remembered that the first time I used it, or I guess the first time I used it was when I said, remember me for Coco, like play the song. And so it said, me, Coco, or something like the movie when that was on. So it clearly misgot my thing. Anyway.
Well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's going to do it for this episode of the show. For links to what we talked about, take a look at the show notes. And if you have a question for me, Megan, tell them how to submit it.
So if you want Rich to answer your tech questions, go to his website, richontech.tv, and hit the contact button.
Please rate and review the podcast. It helps other people discover it. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech, or if you like, text the link to a friend so they can listen. Don't keep us a secret. We have 153 reviews and we are 5 stars. Megan's got a big family. You can find me on Instagram at RichOnTech. Just a reminder. Oh, never mind. I had my notes in there from last week. I don't have a reminder.
Oh, okay. Well, remember to use the Google thing.
How can folks find you, Megan?
I'm on Twitter at Producer Megan.
That's going to do it for this episode of the show. I'm Rich DeMiro on behalf of everyone that gets us to your ears. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you real soon.